Spain's privilege, and it is a privilege granted to them by America, and how much they do or don't spend on their militaries, because NATO subsidizes Spain's military defense, which is subsidized by America.
Yeah.
We subsidize the entire European Union's defense to a substantial margin, an increase, which is why a lot of America Firsters wanted us out of NATO, which Democrats defend vehemently. They defend
you
NATO.
You want to get out of NATO?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely.
How does NATO work, Royce?
Right now it works that it's breaking the American people's back, a working class of a bunch of Europeans.
How does it work, Royce?
They're giving their continent and their countries away to foreign invaders, the same way Democrats want to do
can
here.
Can you point to me where
the United States budget
it has a line item for NATO and Spain's defense? Where is that in the federal budget?
Are you saying that the American taxpayers do not fund NATO?
I asked you a question.
Why don't y'all answer each other's question? Why don't y'all answer each other's question?
You're not even starting from the same reality. If you don't accept that America subsidizes NATO, then you're not even dealing in reality.
How does NATO work? I don't think you understand.
America subsidized NATO.
What does that mean?
Does America put in the lion's share of the funding for NATO?
You think there's
Isaiah, that is a direct question. Does America put in a lion's share of money to NATO? That is a direct question.
No, because I don't think that Royce understands how NATO works.
All right, well, tell us.
NATO means that every country has their direct investment that they spend on their own military for their own defense. The 2% target for defense spending that these countries have, it's not like America is paying that. That's saying that you want the United Kingdom, you want France, you want our NATO allies to go and spend that on their own defense. Royce, you seem to believe that there is a line item in the United States budget for Spain's defense or for France's defense. And if you believe that, then Royce, why don't you go and show me where in the federal budget this is instead of spouting conspiracy theories?
I didn't say that. I said that we are the lion's share majority of subsidization for NATO. We give the most out of any of the other countries. They don't carry their weight, and they don't carry their weight to a degree where if they need to go to war with an enemy on their border, such as Russia, they have to call us to help them to do it, which is exactly why we're still in a war in Ukraine now, because NATO couldn't fight Russia without America's help. So we do put in the money.
Ukraine's not even in NATO.
Okay.
Exactly right, sir. That is exactly right. Spain's privilege, and it is a privilege.
And you then have to determine what you're going to do for the people that are here that are undocumented. I happen to believe that if every single person that is illegal and they haven't committed a crime here or elsewhere, and they agree to pay every single tax, state, federal, and local, and they agree to pay an additional tax of 7% for 7 years, and they do that, that's something that will be able to give American citizenship to. It'll create billions of dollars for us right here for the taxpayer that we can use to cut taxes for Americans and ensure that we can actually go and put trades back in schools for our young people. That is something that is an America First policy that is vastly better than the hundreds of billions of dollars that Trump is in line to spend to go and do this mass deportation program, which ultimately hasn't yielded anything for us anyway.
Royce, I couldn't hear what you were saying while he was talking. Go ahead.
Of course he believes that.
He believes what? Of course he believes what?
Of course he believes we should tax these people and find these people and let them stay in our country. It's for tax revenue, right? For the expansion of the IRS and the federal government. Further expansion.
No, I just told you to cut taxes and to put trades back in schools. Are you opposed to trades in schools?
When has the federal government ever expanded? When was the last time the federal government expanded in the tax rate?
Are you opposed to trades in schools, Russ?
When was the last time the federal government expanded and the tax rate went down?
You're doing a lot of dream shaking like Elijah on the summit right now. I'm just asking.
When was the last time the federal government expanded and the tax rate went down?
Royce. We're talking
when
about
when was the last time the federal
said.
Government expanded?
See, this is what I'm talking about, Stephen.
Let him answer. Go ahead, Isaiah.
No, wait. I didn't answer, Mike.
Go ahead. I'm just saying, but you asked the same question in five times. That's all I'm saying.
Let's go back to the original point. Right. The original point.
He doesn't want to address it.
The original. I've already addressed the economy at a fundamental level.
I just told you about what I just believe.
want to start with sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex.
This is rocket fuel. This is incredible. This is rocket fuel. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is a cocktail I drink every day. A squirt of ultramethylene blue and T3. You are insane if you don't get it. Okay. Well, listen. You are insane if you don't get it. I am a wrecking ball. I am obsessed with this. I can't stop. And now I'm having this. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is the truth. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. You understand that? Does that burn into your brain?
I think I'm going to buy some methylene blue now.
DallasShowShore.com.
Listening to an AJN Live Frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Permit expanded.
See, this is what I'm talking about, Stephen. We can't even have
Let him answer. Go ahead, Isaiah.
No, wait. I didn't answer Mike. Wait,
okay, go ahead. I'm just saying, but you asked the same question. You asked the same question in five times. That's all I'm saying.
Let's go back to the original point. Right. The original point.
He doesn't want to address it.
I've already addressed the economy at a fundamental level. We have a death and debt culture that we've accepted because there are benefits for everybody across the aisle. Modern monetary theory, which is a progressive political and economic philosophy, is a debt trap for all working class citizens across a big time horizon. I'm going to talk about the border right now. Of course you would say that we should tax and fine these people because it's a passive aggressive way for the Democrats to get the goal that they had, which was to import unlimited, unfettered illegal immigrants.
And now I don't support illegal immigration.
No, you do because you want to let them stay.
I don't. I don't support illegal immigration.
He's saying you do because you want them to stay. You're not willing to find them and deport them. That's what he's saying.
Well, because this is what I'm saying. What's happening right now?
Wait a minute. What?
Spending with Spain.
Did we have to tell you 1,000 more times that Bibi Netanyahu's a scumbag little? What do you want us to? What does he have to do? What would he? Again, the same litmus test I ask of the Democrats. How much Somali fraud do you have to uncover? Tell me. What's the number? Is it $100 billion? Is it $1 trillion? How much would they have to have stolen for you to go, all right, wait a minute. Hold on. Same thing's true of Bibi. What would he have to do for President Trump and these Christian Zionists to say, you know what? This is absolutely unacceptable. Well, he's already crossed that line with President Trump.
The Christian Zionists.
I know,
where there's nothing Israel can do.
But again, then they're Satanists. Well, wait a second. Let's be clear. No. That's very easy. If there's nothing somebody could do to cross the line in your mind, you're a Satanist. It's real simple. Like there are things President Trump could do to cross the line where I'd be like, I don't support that. That's what I'm saying. It seems like Israel's starting to cross that line. But, you know, where's the apology for all the people who said it, for all the people who warned that this was an issue? Where's the reconciliation? Because all we have right now is a fractured movement headed in the wrong direction.
Maybe the reconciliation's right around the corner.
No, it's not. Because we either have to reconcile, and it's the same thing I'm saying to the party in Minnesota. It's funny. It's a microcosm. We either have to reconcile in one direction or the other. We can't reconcile in both directions because the gap is a fundamental disagreement about priorities and the rightful order of things. So we can't reconcile back to the Mark Levin side, because if you try and reconcile to the right of President Trump, all the people who were warning, saying, hey, wait a minute, you got to watch Israel. They're not playing on the up and up. If you reconcile to that side, the Mark Levins of the world are out, and they will vote Democrat or they will support Democrats. And they will, at the perfect time, collaborate to see President Trump thrown in prison. At the very perfect and opportune moment, they will collaborate with these communists to see President Trump thrown in prison, the same way Bill Kristol said to vote for Mamdani. He's a perfect example. And Mark Levin's a key turn away from that? He can pretend, you know, he gets paid well to do his thing. You know, the CIA is paying him well to be that pillar of the conversation. But when push comes to shove, if President Trump really starts to defect from this Israel line of country, he's going to abandon the president. Look at him now. He's already calling for the Congress to look over the treaty. You scumbag little. You didn't have a problem with President Trump superseding Congress any other time. I don't have a problem with it. I'm telling him that he should supersede Congress far more than he's doing now. But Mark Levin was, you know, on board with that as long as it meant that we were doing what we're doing in the Middle East. Now that President Trump calls for a peace treaty, he says, well, Congress is going to have to look this over. Why? Could it have to do with AIPAC?
It didn't go down the way he was expecting.
Could it have to do with the fact that AIPAC has so much sway in the Congress? And you Christian Zionists out there put up with this clown? That's what I was saying yesterday and a couple of days ago about the standard of the conversation heads in this country. These people are goofy. They're not even, I don't even take them serious. So therefore I can barely take politics serious. Everybody looks at me like, well, Royce, why you don't show up here? Why you ain't do that? You guys aren't serious. This is not serious. Mark Levin is not a serious person. He's a caricature. A little bald-headed fat whose, you know, allegiance lies with another country before our own. And he jumps the fence back and forth, blatantly based on his own agenda and his own desires. That's serious to people? Intellectually, that's serious?
You got a clip here, young Tanner. Right till there. That's a stunning indictment of Mark Levin, well reasoned and spoken with profanity laced all the way through it. Yeah, it's a huge viral crap. It's going to go viral.
Dr. Fauci, as head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, provided millions in U.S. taxpayer dollars to fund dangerous gain of function research on bat coronaviruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, work which is now widely viewed as the source of the unintentional lab leak that sparked the pandemic. Now, in support of President Trump's maximum transparency mandate, today, on my final day as Director of National Intelligence, I'm releasing never-before-seen communications and documents that expose exactly how Fauci worked with politicized career leadership in the intelligence community to suppress the truth about his actions, the virus's lab leak origins, and his role in directing U.S. funding for this dangerous research that caused immeasurable harm and countless lost lives. Now, these documents expose Fauci's direct role in influencing and manipulating IC assessments on COVID-19 and how Fauci lied to Congress in 2024 when under oath he denied knowledge of or participation in discussions with intelligence officials about viral research. We also received testimony from multiple intelligence community whistleblowers who reported retaliation for challenging the intelligence community's manipulation of intelligence on the virus's origins, once again revealing a clear pattern of suppressing dissent, silencing critics, and burying the truth. Dr. Fauci's close relationships with the intelligence community enabled him to assume three key roles that shield him from scrutiny. First, Dr. Fauci funded dangerous gain-of-function coronavirus research linked to Big Pharma and their pursuit of universal vaccines worth trillions of dollars. Second, Dr. Fauci was the behind-the-scenes advisor who, alongside his hand-picked so-called experts, pushed the intelligence community to endorse a natural animal origin to hide his dangerous gain-of-function research that he funded using taxpayer dollars, all of this in a deliberate attempt to cover up the truth and shift the blame and attention away from Fauci's own actions. Third, Dr. Fauci became the nation's pandemic pundit and he publicly pushed lies, disinformation, and censorship using every platform available. Now, according to hundreds of reviewed emails, which are included in this release, the intelligence community almost always incorporated Fauci's recommendations. He promoted a fraudulent paper whose publication he helped prompt as legitimate information for intelligence community consideration. Senior analysts praised Dr. Fauci not as a policymaker, but as what they called an unbiased guide to the real coronavirus experts, while deliberately ignoring experts who might dissent from Fauci's narratives. Now, Fauci didn't stop there. He blatantly lied to Congress under oath during his 2024 testimony to the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic, denying that he ever spoke to any intelligence agency about COVID. Now, the correspondence I'm releasing today directly contradicts his sworn testimony. Now, we received statements from multiple whistleblowers revealing that the intelligence analysts who dared to challenge Dr. Fauci's COVID origin conclusions faced threats of retaliation, marginalization, and many suffered career setbacks. For example, a contractor was terminated just days after coming forward to ODNI as a whistleblower. Another example, those who advocated for the lab leak hypothesis or expressed dissenting views were reminded by their managers that leadership would determine which analysts would be promoted and which would not. The message was clear: go along or be punished. Senior leaders also sought to undermine whistleblowers by removing anonymity, which is required in the whistleblower process, as they made their complaints, and also insisting that their managers or attorneys be present during ODNI meetings where these whistleblowers were coming forward with their testimony, obviously creating an atmosphere of intimidation. The COVID pandemic caused tremendous hardship and pain for millions of our fellow Americans and countless people around the world. Now, after years of lies and censorship and cover-ups, the American people deserve transparency, truth, and accountability. The tactics that were used to hide the truth are straight from the deep state playbook. Politicized self-serving leaders like Dr. Fauci covered up their own wrongdoing and abuses of power, manipulated intelligence, lied to Congress, and undermined a duly elected president by restricting his access to the vital facts he needed to keep the country safe. It's time you know the truth.
What time are you guys supposed to be in here? 5? Okay. We'll see you later, guys. When you knock on my door. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. Go home. Go home. You stay. I want you to hear this stuff. We don't need the board. Get out of here. In your careers of having won no championships, tomorrow is the biggest game of your life. And what do we have? We got bull. We got excuses. We got faces. Okay? Well, I'm telling you something right now. If you lose tomorrow, you'll be the laughing stock. The laughing stock of high school basketball. Do yourselves a favor. When you're going home now, and we're done, right? And you know we're not done. You're going home, and I hope you're ready. And anybody mumbles now, I'll knock somebody the f*** out.
How do we come to an accord in that regard? I'll start with you, Royce.
Oh, there's no accord. We're well past the accord. These people just lie. Like, for example, I brought up the illegal immigrant situation. He hasn't addressed it one time since he's spoken. He refuses to address that the Joe Biden administration and the Democrats as a party, as a political movement, believe in and support, condone, let in 20 to 15 million foreign invaders. He won't even address it. And that's not by accident. It's on purpose. This country cannot be the only country in the world without a border. Okay. We should not let unlimited amounts of people come into this country. And it does have an effect on our culture, on our communities and the economy. But that's not even the real issue. And what I said about the economy is 100% accurate. He's talking about President Trump. I'm talking about how the system works. which is why after George Floyd died, I led people to the Federal Reserve because I wanted to educate them on how monetary policy actually works. Not to, to point all of their anger and animosity at police, which are government workers, by the way, working class people who bear a lot of the same economic burden that many of the people who protested them bear. But how does the money actually flow? How does it work? That's not even the real issue. But when I say there's no accord to have, these people believe in cutting off little boys' penises, mutilating children, giving them hormone blockers. It's a pillar of their platform. They're not shy about it. Minneapolis is now the transgender capital. You're talking about people who are under 13, 12, 11 years old being influenced into something that is completely, completely unjustifiable by any medical standard worth its salt that hasn't been captured by the same academic philosophy, but certainly by any historical standard. The two universal standards for having a country, you have a border that you control, and you do not normalize cutting off your son's penises or mutilating them through hormone blockers and medicine. So there is no accord with these people. They're unmoored from reality, and they want to talk, you know, they talk fast. They bring a bunch of buzzwords and things like that to distract you from the issues. The reason they don't like me is because I'll bring you right back to the root issue. You let in 15 million foreign invaders, and you believe in cutting off little boys' penises. We should never give these people the government back under any circumstances, so there's certainly not an accord.
Isaiah?
You know, this is really interesting. You know, Roy's not at any point wanted to address anything when it comes to the economy. And, you know, I understand that you might not necessarily have anything when it comes to that, so it's not really surprising. But ultimately, Stephen A., I do think that to get back to the root of your question about how we can come to an accord, I think that it's just by using common sense.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, the Alex Jones Network. I'm your guest host for the evening, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Happy Father's Day to everybody in the audience. We got to be grateful for everything that we have, and none of us would be here without our fathers, despite all of the radical feminist energy. Radical feminist energy, like you just saw from the gentleman I was debating, Isaiah Martin's a fast up and comer, or you know, fast rising Democrat there on the other side of the aisle. But we have to remember our fathers. Without our fathers, none of us would be here. And the ultimate father, God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our Father who art in heaven. So again, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. We are grateful for all of you as well, and I'm grateful to be a father myself. Where to even begin? A lot in the cold open there. We're going to discuss a lot of it over the bombshell, without a doubt. Without a doubt, the bombshell, top of the news, is Tulsi Gabbard's disclosure of Dr. Fauci's guilt. Guilty of lying to the Congress, guilty of trying to hide the gain of function research. Some of us were quite early on the gain of function side of things. I posted a picture on X a couple of days back of July 24th, 2021. I'm at the Big Three Basketball League, and I'm wearing a shirt that says gain of function on it. Can't tell you how much the mainstream media had a field day with that picture and said I was a conspiracy theorist, like many of you in the audience, like much of the InfoWars audience. They call us conspiracy theorists nonstop, and then when the conspiracies get proven true, they never care to correct the record. And that's a dangerous thing for a society. It actually is. It's not a casual thing that people get called conspiracy theorists, and then when the conspiracies end up being true, when the conspiracy theories end up being conspiracy facts, they never correct the record. Well, that's what we're dealing with. And I know a lot of you are hypercritical of President Trump, and for good reason. We should be hypercritical of our leaders always, especially in these times. But I think eventually I'm going to win a lot of you over when I say the only logical answer for us is to keep the country by force. That's where we're at. I'm sorry. I know people aren't going to like that. People say, oh, it's against the Constitution. You don't fix the Constitution by breaking the Constitution. You don't fix the problems by breaking the rules, blah, blah, blah. You know, I hear you. Okay. The bottom line is these people live in an alternative universe. Now, we have a significant argument. You saw how, you know, how I feel about Mark Levin, and nothing, no amount of money or no amount of encouragement from anyone could get me to change my opinion on Mark Levin. I think he's a caricature. Honestly, I think he's an idiot. I think he's pompous and arrogant, and I don't think he can be trusted. I think he's disloyal, and that's to say the very least. That's about as nice as I could put it. So, you know, my feelings about people like that are public, and I won't walk them back ever. But with that being said, the disagreement, and that's not a casual thing either. What Mark Levin and the entire Israel First crew are doing is not a casual thing. As soon as the president tries to broker peace, they say, we got to finish the job. What is finishing the job? No, they can never tell you what finishing the job is, because to them, finishing the job is greater Israel. And we don't, you know, we're out. I mean, we're just out. Anybody who thinks that we should be in for the greater Israel agenda has absolutely lost their mind. If Israel wants to do it, fine. Go ahead. Do what you want to do. We just need to get out. We want out. We're like Michael Corleone in The Third Godfather. We want out. As soon as we get out, they pull us back in. Right? But it's a part of a much bigger schism of logic in you know, the modern thinking in American political culture. I showed you a little bit there. We got into a discussion about NATO, and I can't for the life of me come to grips with how ill-informed people are about how NATO actually works. It's crazy. It doesn't shock me because of how many stupid gay communist liberals I saw with the Ukraine flags and their you know, Twitter, social media handles next to their rainbow flag and their vaccine syringe. So it doesn't shock me per se. But, you know, when you run into things in the wild, it's like, could you believe that a Sasquatch exists? Yes, you could. You know, you could imagine one. But if you run Bigfoot, right? Same thing here with some of these stupid gay communist liberals. It's like, I knew you people didn't understand how NATO worked because of your shilling for Ukraine. But boy, when your talking heads fumble on NATO the way this young up and coming star who ran for Congress down there in Texas, one of the Jasmine Crockett types, my mind's still sort of blown. It's like, we don't provide the majority of the money for NATO? Huh? In what world? In what world is the defense of Europe not on the back of the American working class and taxpayer? In what world? And they come up with all these esoteric arguments like, yeah, well, you know, there really is no NATO. It's a defense treaty, and it's the money that you spend on your own military. We're not writing a check to NATO. Somebody writes a check. Your great, great grandchildren are writing the check. Every time we spend money we don't have to raise the debt ceiling, or another CR that raises the debt ceiling, and we go further in debt and we print money to meet the demand of our defense budget, which we often justify by saying we got to defend Europe because they can't defend themselves. And when Vladimir Putin decides to roll across that Ukraine border, everybody says, oh, do you really expect the Ukrainians and the French and the Italians and the British and the Spaniards and the Poles to defend their own territory? Of course you don't. We have to defend them. And then when we go to war in the Middle East, people say we shouldn't be getting involved in other people's wars. I mean, the cognitive dissonance is profound. We're just getting started this evening. Royce White and the Belly of the Beast. We'll be right back in a moment here on the Alex Jones Network. Stay tuned.
I don't sell crap. Bovine colostrum. I'm going to get back to news. I didn't do any plug in the first hour. And Bigly, about a year ago, puts out a survey. A lot of you that are, you know, if you're a VIP, you get surveys. And, you know, once a month or something, they'll ask, hey, what are you wanting, or what are you liking best, or what products would you like? And that's smart to ask customers that, right? And you're kind and you tell us, and it came back. Bovine colostrum was in the top two or three every time, and so was high-grade beef tallow, which we now have for you as you requested. And it's a great seller. Not rocket scientist to ask your customers what they want. That's the number one rule of sales. Well, have a great product and find out what your customer wants. And you can say the customer's always right. I think there's something better I'm going to tell you, but I'm not going to argue with it. But that's an important rule of sale, but I don't think it's the most ethical point. I'll actually tell you what I think I need to know. But We got samples of it in before we even private labeled it from a top place to say, hey, you got to try this. Well, and now I'm taking it because I don't know how good it is. I'm like, okay, the survey wants bovine colostrum, the first milk in 2 weeks out of a mammal. I know it supercharges the immune system. I know it has all these immunity factors that goes in. It's like the natural vaccine. I know it's great. I know that going back to Germany hundreds of years ago in the UK and even out west here in the US, they had a sickly kid or a preemie. They would give them the colostrum. They would call it the first milk of a donkey. It's like always in all the literature, like the medical doctors, like that's, oh my God, donkey. Donkey colostrum is like, whoa, like that, donkey. And then horse is good, goats are good, but it's always donkey's the best. It says, the first 2 weeks milk, the colostrum of a jenny. That's in medical books from Germany, the UK, the US. That's how powerful colostrum is. Well, we don't have big, creameries and dairies with a bunch of female donkeys, so you're gonna have to settle with the cow. But it's good. And so they send in the canister of the company we're going to private label it from. And I'm like, okay. And so I throw it in the back of my car with some other stuff. And a couple days later, I go to have dinner at my parents. And I go, hey, my mom takes, I've seen her take colostrum and stuff. Women like their hair and their nails and all that. I'll give her this. So I go in and give her a couple canisters of it and everything. And then about 2 months later, my mom is like, Alex, I want some more of that. That is incredible.
Several weeks later.
Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products, but this is the first one that I can go, whoa. It's in a back problem that I've had since Alex was born. It's almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this is brand new.
Turned darker.
And darker.
So now she gets it from us. She orders it from us. But that just gives you an example of I'm not selling crap, okay? I'm not going to sell you something that doesn't work. Now, with colostrum, it's going to take, you're going to feel it right away in a few days, but it's going to take months for you to see it with the skin and the hair and the nails and all that for it to really kick in. But I'm telling you, you are nuts if you don't go to the alexjonesstore.com and get these right now. Just go get it. And then we can expand and have our legal battles and beat the New World Order, and you'll be as happy as a pig in poop. And there's a bunch of sales on all the best-selling products right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I can't be bought. I am simply funded by you if you like the work we're doing.
Nice try, globalist, but Alex Jones is still here, and he's not leaving. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on the Alex Jones Network, Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And happy Father's Day again to all the fathers in the audience. We have a crisis of masculinity in this country. Crisis of masculinity in the West. Crisis of masculinity worldwide. And what will it take? I mean, again, I say this and people, I know you don't like it. I get it. You don't like it. I understand. Trust me. But you got to face facts here. Okay. If we give these people the government back, there'll never be another fair election again. And hormone blockers is going to be the very least of our worries, although it may be the most profound reality test that we have. And as you saw there in the debate, this guy, Isaiah Martin, I guess he's a professional debater. They got all these, 20-v-1 debates popping up. A couple of people have offered for me to do them. I probably wouldn't be much fun in them because I don't really believe in some of these intellectual highbrow debates with people who just lie. And a lot of these people lie. They just lie straight through their teeth. This is why I bring it right back to the central issue. You guys let in 15 to 20 million foreign invaders intentionally, and you believe in cutting off little boys' penises. You believe in hormone blockers, which is medical castration. But if you really push these leftists far enough, they'll come out and tell you They believe in actually taking a knife to a little boy's genitals if it means affirming their gender. We don't have to go much further than that, but we can. We certainly can, for our own entertainment, our own amusement. We can go as far as we want to go, and arguing back and forth. At some point, the argument becomes an excuse for us not to do the tough thing. And the tough thing is President Trump needs to keep the government by force. That's not seditious. It's not insurrection. Don't even let them gaslight you with that. You cannot have people running your government who are unmoored from reality. You cannot have people running the government who live in an alternative universe, an alternative reality. It is a threat to national security, let alone the prosperity and well-being of the everyday average American citizen. It's real simple. See, but and there's a crisis of masculinity. Like rule number one, never listen to an effeminate liberal man. Rule number one, never listen to an effeminate liberal man on anything. Rule number two, never listen to a black effeminate liberal man on anything. Rule number one and rule number two, one and 1A. Don't listen to effeminate liberal men, period. But the real crisis of that's a crisis of masculinity. You can almost count it as a crisis of femininity, because there are some women who are tougher than the Isaiah Martin kid. There are some women who are some people who have a dominant feminine energy, you know, like a Tulsi Gabbard, who I showed in the cold open for a reason. Right. I mean, she's a woman that's got stones. I mean, balls, real balls. No disrespect, Tulsi. I'm saying that as a compliment. She's got granite balls. And thank you for your service. We wish you and your husband well. We know he's dealing with a serious health issue, and we wish you both Godspeed and thank you for your service. She's got courage. So there are women who have courage. And when you get a man who's as feminine as Isaiah Martin, I actually count that as a crisis of femininity, because they're so feminine. The crisis of masculinity, because I don't even count them as having any masculinity. And these stupid gay communists, I mean, we have to get beyond arguing with these cuck, soft, weenie, liberal retards. We have to get past our entire electoral strategy is like, we need a Michelle Tafoya to appeal to the middle. Any appeal to the middle is an appeal to insanity. These people are insane. We don't need to negotiate with them at all. We have to come to grips with the fact that if we continue to appeal to the middle as they pull the Overton window way out there in the left field, we're eventually going to be pulled right into the abyss, over the line of that tug of war. We're already over the line. We all know it. We all know it. You just need somebody with a pair of balls like mine. Okay, you need this tungsten pair of balls to tell you what you already know, to reiterate what you already know. We have to keep the government by force. That's it. Real simple. It's not seditious. It's not insurrection. It's a matter of common sense. They've watered down the schools and the education. They flooded the mainstream media. They've censored and deplatformed the Alex Joneses of the world. They've indicted the President Trumps, took a shot at him to try and scare him and the rest of us the same way they did after they shot John F. Kennedy's head off. They gaslit you into saying RFK Jr. is a conspiracy theorist when he says do a few more push-ups versus Ozempic or whatever else. You get what I'm saying. They've gaslit us. They've threatened us, they've bullied us, they've gaslit us, and all they're waiting on you to do is to say what I'm saying now so they can, you know, have their guts. We told you they're fascists. Antifa, get the flags, get the gay flags ready, Antifa. We told you they're fascists. You know what? Shut your stupid gay communist mouth. Let's go there. Let's go there, America. All that 1776 American patriot badass don't mean nothing if you're not really ready to go there. I'm in the belly of the beast. I'm in Minnesota behind enemy lines with all the commies, all the jihadists, all the fake Republicans. They're really Israel firsters. Let's just be honest, right? Because they're pro-choice. As long as you're pro-Israel, you can be pro-choice. As long as you're pro-Israel, you can kill an unborn child. No problem. You know. That's the Christian Zionist. That's the modern and current Christian Zionist framework. As long as you support, as long as you have unlimited and unfettered support of Israel and Mark Levin, then you can kill an unborn child. No bearing on your Christian, no bearing whatsoever on your eternal, standing. No, because defending Israel supersedes support or condoning killing unborn children now. I mean, that's how crazy we've gotten. So you got these feckless Republicans. Can we just say the quiet part out loud? You know, shout out to the General Flynn. Shout out to the Eric Princes of the world. Shout out to the Steve Bannons of the world. Shout out to the Russ Votes of the world who took all the scrutiny when they said, the Grim Reaper of, Project 25, whatever it was. I don't even remember, you know, cause all it was the liberals again kicking up dust and making us feel crazy for saying we have to take drastic measures in order to save this republic, which is exactly what we have to do. Let the Negro from the belly of the beast who was raised around cultural Marxists come to tell you after this Juneteenth holiday. Okay. The only answer to save this country is if a man with sacred honor and benevolence keeps the government by force and starts to systematically, programmatically rearrange things. And you say, well, Royce, that's extreme. No, you know what's extreme? Extreme is letting a little pipsqueak, pseudoscience, sellout, or traitor like Dr. Fauci get together with his band of mad scientists and genetically modify a virus in the name of public health and safety. That's extreme. Let's release a bunch of genetically modified mosquitoes into the Everglades because, dengue virus may, explode. It's a shut your stupid gay communist mouth, please. You know, it's the same thing with Ukraine. Vladimir Putin, he's going to roll across Europe. You know, we got to stop him. Oh, they all love the Russians. President Trump's in cahoots with the Russians. You know what? It's got nothing to do with us. Back to my point about NATO, there was this distinct moment in this debate, and you can go watch it on Stephen A's channel. And God bless America, there's still some people in this country that actually get it. I think we're in a minority, and that's why I'm telling you the prescription is we have to just keep the government as a matter of sacred honor. You're outnumbered. That's okay. The heresy of democracy, again, is that all majorities are made equal and righteous. We have this infatuation and obsession with majorities. See, I'm kind of crazy. Like, if I'm in a room and there's 100 of us and 99 people say, we're going to kill this unborn child. I mean, we're going to kill this infant child, unborn child, infant child, you know, same thing. If we're going to kill this infant child, we're going to ritually sacrifice this infant child. 100 people in a room, 99 people come to the consensus that we're going to murder this infant child in some type of demonic satanic ritual. Yeah. I, the one out of 100, am going to kill as many people in that room as I possibly can. Immoral majorities. I don't care for immoral majorities, for demonic multiplied propagation. And that's what we have. And it's scattered all through our culture. It's just everywhere you look, you know, it's, we're surrounded. We're betrayed and we're surrounded. We're in a crisis, spiritual crisis, psychological, philosophical crisis, thus political and social crisis. We're in a crisis, full spectrum crisis, existential crisis. And we want to tiptoe around it. The answer, we know the answer. The answer is it's just going to get a lot worse before it gets better. But it's only going to get better if it gets worse first. There ain't no easy way out of it. We're in the middle of the forest. We walked here. We were curious. We were all so curious. What could happen to a society? What can happen in a society without God? What would a society be like if people were just moral and good out of their secular humanist duty? What would our society be like? Well, you see what it's like. Ta-da! This is what it's like. The only way out is through. You can't stay where you are, and you can't go back. There ain't no going back. This is a magical forest. As you walk, the forest behind you, just for some odd reason in the simulation, it just disappears. You can't go back. You go, but you turn around, you go back, you thunk, thunk, thunk. You're hitting your head on the invisible wall behind you. Ain't no going back. And you can't stay where you are because you're sinking where you are. Only way out is through. The only way through is you got to vanquish some demons. Is that too much to deal with? Because if I get it, if it is, just take your little Republican playbook. You know, your milk toast, 501c3, turn the other cheek playbook, and go on home. Go on home, and you pray that we get it done so that these communist jihadists don't come round you up and kill you for having a Bible on your nightstand. You take your little feckless playbook from the school of McCain or McConnell or John Thune. You take your little feckless Republican playbook and you go home and you pray that we get the job done so you can emerge afterwards and say, we were with you the whole time. No, you weren't. You weren't with, but we'll, you know what? It's okay. Come on out. It's okay. We're not going to hold it against you. We know you're cowards. We know you're triple vaxxed. We know, Michelle Tafoya, you took 3-4 boosters. You're triple vaxxed. I'm unvaccinated. Stupid low IQ Negro from the belly of the beast. Grew up with the cultural Marxists, you know, led a George Floyd protest about peace to the Federal Reserve so we could talk about how money works or the way that money works, right? Stupid low IQ Negro from the belly of the beast, unvaccinated. Denied the lockdowns, took people to the Fed and said, let's talk about money because there's something going on here. There's something more than meets the eye about this pandemic. And I have a distinct feeling it has to do with money. What do you know? It certainly does have to do with money, doesn't it? Surely it has to do with money when your tax dollars go to research that ends up killing millions of people, not only here in America, but all around the world. And somehow you put your head on the pillow at night thinking, I'm this altruistic humanitarian freedom fighter, social justice warrior. If I put my COVID mask on with my 4 boosters as guidance from scientists who let out a virus, lethal virus that killed millions of people. And for those of you who have common sense and see the problem with that, you want to argue with those people? Go ahead. You know I'm right. You know I'm right. You want to argue with them? You really think you're going to change their mind in time? We're not changing their minds in time. That ain't going to happen. You hold the line. You hold the principle. You move people toward the principle. We're not changing these people's minds. Okay? Not in time. We got to take the government by force if necessary. Hold the government. We restructure this country around our core principles and values, and we show the benefit of our worldview, of the things we want to prioritize, like Bobby Kennedy and public health and safety and fitness and eating the right way, self-governance, you know, President Trump, nation of shopkeepers, private ownership, having a small business. You see the signal from the economy. Oh, and then it's this Isaiah Martin. Oh, you don't want to talk about the economy. You're a Marxist. Of course you think it's all about price. And all you stupid Republicans who fall trap to this MacGuffin argument about the economy and affordability, you're just playing right into their hands, right into their hands. You know, the guy lied multiple times, said the inflation's higher under Trump than it was under Biden. It's not true at all. It's not even remotely true. And even more, when inflation was at its height, around like 9% under Joe Biden, people like Joy Ann Reid were running around on mainstream media telling black men that we only learned the word inflation from Republicans. We didn't know what inflation meant. It wasn't a word that was commonly used. When they inflate the economy, it's not a word that's commonly used. When inflation doesn't drop at the rate that they would like, all of a sudden inflation is the most important issue. And you all buy into it. Here, let's go a layer deeper. The real signal from the noise when it comes to the economy is, as I've said before, and I said during this recent debate, modern monetary theory. Modern monetary theory is a debt trap for all working class citizens across a big enough time horizon. Why? When you print money you don't have, there is a hidden tax. A hidden tax called inflation. When you print money you don't have and you're already $40 trillion in debt, the American people pay for it. When you subsidize your own defense, which in turn is effectively the backbone of the defense for the entire European Union and anywhere else our national interest is, the American people pay. Okay? Now, you can make an argument that debt isn't always a bad thing. Depends on what the debt is spent on. Right? You can go into debt, and debt could be effectively leveraged to the net benefit of a person, community, or in this case, a country. It's possible. Right? Now, there's going to be debate and argument about what the debt needs to be spent on, what the debt needs to be leveraged for in order for it to be a net positive for a country. I get that. Point being, the signal from the noise on the economy is that the taxes are down for the working class in the immediate. Tips, overtime, Social Security, the taxes are down for the working class who pay through the gills for the debt that we incur. We've relieved some of that burden on them, that immediate burden. We've tried to offset that. The trade deficit offsets that. The SBA loans, which people are conveniently overlooking. When a President Trump makes it possible for people to purchase small businesses from retiring boomers, he's given the next generation a fighting chance to keep a nation through a nation of shopkeepers. Signal from the noise on the economy. But see, I don't even want to talk about the economy. I really don't even want to talk about it. I just think it's a distraction. Let's reality test these people's fundamental worldview. You let in 20 million foreign invaders and you don't have a problem with it. Nobody's illegal on stolen land. We don't have to go further than that. Let's talk about something else. We're not talking about anything else. That's all we're going to talk about. There are no illegals on foreign land. That's what we're going to stay right there until we get a clear answer. And I didn't get a clear answer. This guy's answer was, let me tell you how crazy this stuff actually is. How crazy these people are. This guy, Isaiah Martin, he ran for Congress as a Democrat down in Texas. He says, we need to tax the illegal immigrants. And we can use 7% tax on the illegal immigrants, and we can use that tax revenue to put trades back in the schools for American citizens. And what's even more scary than him giving such a wildly stupid proposal is how many people in some of these comments think that's a good idea. Why in the world would we need to assimilate illegal foreign invaders and tax them to prioritize education that actually works for American citizens? We don't need to take 20 million foreign invaders and tax them to put trades back in the schools. That's ridiculous. That's mind blowing that somebody would even say it, let alone people agree. And I thought we couldn't find the foreign invaders. Didn't they say that the reason we can't do mass deportations is because we can't find the foreign invaders? It's too hard to track them down. How the hell are you going to tax them if you can't find them? How are you going to tax the 20 million foreign invaders if you can't find them? And if you can find them, then why can't you deport them? Because they don't want to deport them. It's real simple. This isn't rocket science. It ain't even political science. It's right up in your face. The same way the Federal Reserve has been devaluing the dollar and by way of devaluing our citizenship since its inception. The same way it's right up in your face, the hidden tax of inflation and the rabid printing of money that doesn't exist. For all of those who need a little crash course on the Fed, on central banking, when you have a unlimited checkbook, you can write a check and then charge the government and the American taxpayers interest to pay the money back that you create out of thin air. That's called raping the American taxpayer. Hidden tax. But you won't hear any Democrats call to abolish the Fed. Abolish the Fed! Abolish the Federal Reserve! Abolish it. Don't audit it. You know, don't change it. Don't reform it. We don't need to reform the Fed. We don't need to audit the Fed. Abolish it. Get rid of it. It is an unconstitutional, unacceptable, abomination, infamia to the way our American founding fathers envisioned this country. In the Federal Reserve is where the kleptocrats and the oligarchs and the corporatists have taken control of our society. The merger of the corporation and the government through monetary policy and debt, interest, usury. That is the most fascist mechanism of modern society. Interest and usury, the merger of the corporation and the state through monetary policy. I promise I'm not suicidal. Okay. I know when you start saying things that deep, people either check out and go, oh, it's word salad. No, you just don't know how monetary policy works. That's all. It's not word salad. You just don't get it. Or they call you crazy, right? We're not crazy. This is how the system actually works. Watching the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday night. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We'll be right back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Hi, folks. Doc Bigley here. And today we're going to get to know our H2O. Billy, what kind of water do you drink?
Why, tap water, of course. Ma says it keeps my teeth sparkly white.
I'm sorry to say it, Billy, but your mother is either plain ignorant or worse, a communist. Let me explain.
Tap water used to be safe to drink, but communist subversives in our government introduced fluoride into our nation's tap under the guise of dental health, when in reality, fluoride lowers your IQ, calcifies your pineal gland, and makes you susceptible to anti-capitalist mind viruses.
So you're telling me I'm a sap if I drink tap?
Yes, you are, Billy. Yes, you are. But don't despair. We've found a solution. Follow me. I'd like to tell you a tale of two frogs. Frog number one has only ever drank unfiltered tap water, chock full of fluoride. Observe him listening to satanic music, abusing substances, and engaging in other perversions.
Look, Doc, they're trying to play leapfrog. They're pretty bad at it, though.
Avert your eyes, Billy. Let's continue.
Meanwhile, frog number two has only ever drank water that has been filtered for fluoride and other impurities. What a happy frog family.
Spill the secret, Doc. How do you get rid of the communist poisons?
With the new water filter system from the AlexJonesStore.com.
Say, Doc, may I have a glass?
Why, certainly. Well, that's just swell. No water in the water filter.
Listen, I'm not mad at the crew, but I asked for real water in here 30 minutes ago and never got it.
Crew's in trouble again.
Alex Jones Show here on the Alex Jones Network, Sunday Night Live. I'm your host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Happy Father's Day again. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there in the audience and all across our great country, all around the world. We know the audience is a global audience, although we find the globalist agenda to be repugnant, we still wish all the free people all around the world Godspeed. We see that the UK Prime Minister is going to resign, and President Trump announced that the UK Prime Minister is going to resign, rightfully so. I think the royal family should just resign. But hey, you know, we'll save that for another day. I don't give a damn about the Prime Minister. I think the royal family should resign. They should resign. We should resign from NATO. We should start to focus on our own country. And that would also mean this military conflict we got going on in the Middle East. It's real easy. I mean, these things are rather simple, much more simple than we make them. Let's just say it like it's much more simple than we're making it. Reality testing. It blows my mind that anybody would even argue that America doesn't provide the majority of the money for NATO. That, I mean, it makes perfect sense to me why these people shilled for Ukraine. And I've said it on the show many times. I find it just hilariously ironic. Their entire philosophy, political philosophy, is about how bad white people are, you know, the scourge of neocolonialism, a Eurocentric worldview, white man bad, as Ilhan Omar once said. And then they jump through intergalactic hoops to defend the territorial integrity of modern day Europe. I mean, you gotta be stupid to argue with people who are that stupid. And I don't really want to argue with these people. I do a talk show, right? I'm a talk show host. I'm a commentator, so I have to comment. And I'll continue to comment the same way until the bell rings, till the final bell rings, till the fat lady sings. But in all seriousness, the president of the United States, you just got to keep the government. I mean, you know, get your ducks in a row, figure out who's really loyal and who's not, and keep the government, man. Just don't mess around with these people are as dishonest as they are dumb. And that's a deadly combination. They are as dishonest as they are dumb. And that is a deadly combination. Dishonest and dumb. Deadly. Deadly. Deadly for a country. Deadly for a man, let alone a community, let alone a nation. These people are radically dishonest. They just gaslit us. How long are we going to put up with this? How long are the Alex Joneses of the world going to have to live in the rewritten gaslit history of these stupid gay communists? How long? See, because we haven't restored the border. We haven't restored the republic. We haven't restored our sacred honor until the record is clear. We all know that to the victor goes the spoils. And one of those spoils is you get to write the history. It's incumbent upon us. We are duty bound to win. Number one, to fight to win so we can correct the record. But even the record will tell you that we provide the majority of the money for NATO. I mean, even the record still says America provides around 62% of the money for NATO, not to mention when the costs get dumped all in, when the costs are all in, when you have to defend, your global empire 24/7, 365 days a year, and your number one threat or number one access of threats is on the continental Asia. Okay. We pay a lot more than that in real costs. Watching the Alex Jones Show here on the Alex Jones Network, Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White, the Belly of the Beast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's 2 a.m.
Thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum's been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene Blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine colostrum is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at thealexjonesstore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is alexjoneslive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be right back.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. You're watching the Alex Jones Network here, Sunday Night Live, Father's Day weekend. Happy Father's Day. And we're just doing a little reality testing tonight. Dr. Fauci, scumbag. Scumbag extraordinaire, world-class scumbag, literally world-class supervillain. Just like we said, we all said it. We all said it. Break out your Alex Jones was right t-shirts. If you're on X right now, you're watching on X, wherever you're watching, go over to X, okay? Go on over to X and post Alex Jones was right. Hashtag Dr. Fauci. The mainstream media won't print that. They may even print what Tulsi Gabbard said, but they'll never go back and correct the record. As I was just saying, all of the many patriots who we let fall through the cracks in the Chernow House of history when we don't correct the record. Humans really cease to be humans when we lose our historicity. And we run the risk of losing that historicity. History is so important. It's what makes human beings, you know, dogs don't, they have a genetic memory. That's different. Genetic memory is different than written history. One of the things that makes human beings unique as a species is we have history. We have the ability to write stories down and transfer knowledge and information across time, forward into time, across generations. And when you let that history be manipulated and exploited and mistold and misinterpreted and misrepresented, all of a sudden you look up one day and up, it's normal during the month of June to celebrate a little boy turning into a little girl because he, you know, likes to play with dolls instead of trucks, or I don't even know what their justification is these days. Because they have mental illness, we've created an entire month in America to celebrate, take pride in deeply rooted mental illness. And a lot of you won't say it, but slowly and surely I can see us concede. Our American culture slowly concede to this LGBTQ mania because we're afraid that another Westman will go into a Catholic church in the morning and shoot little kids while they pray in the pews. I can see, I can sense it. The genetic, survival instinct and masculinity in my balls can sense how cowardly some of you are. You won't say it. You won't say these people are crazy. They're absolutely out of their minds. And you know what? A person like Isaiah has such an effeminate disposition. You know, Royce, it's so interesting. You never once addressed the economy. Shut up. People like that couldn't even talk. Where I come from, we didn't even let them talk. They didn't even get to speak. I'm just telling you the way it really is. And he knows that. He knows that. He was a nerd in school. He was a nerd, not the good kind of nerd. You know, he was the nerd that thought he knew more than he really did. Overeducated, underintelligent, teacher's pet type of kid that'll bring an apple, you know, and tell on you. You know, he's that kind of kid, right? None of the girls liked him. And it's a, you know, and that's not a measurement of everything, but you know, we got to pick. You got to pick, Israel Firsters. You want King David or not? You know, King David had flaws. He had great flaws. He had tremendous flaws. King David did. Man after the Lord's own heart. You could take it to the bank. And that's an important, important thing to note in our history, in our faith practice, that men with great flaws still can be men after the Lord's own heart. And despite his many flaws, he wasn't a coward. He wasn't a coward. Despite his many flaws, he wasn't a coward. And, you know, we've reached that crossroads where we have to decide what's more convenient for us to take the coward's way out and clump together with a bunch of these stupid gay communists, clump together with the stupid gay communists, or take a stand. It's really that simple. Now, your John Thunes of the world, they stand there with the square jaw, hang their hat on their former athletic career that has always placed a premium on excellence, the unequal distribution of talent. And they say, we have to have a moderate message. We have to tone things down because we have to get the independents. You know what? If you independents want to side with these stupid gay communists, we're going to have to take the country by force. That's what it is. That's where we're at. If you independents are so cowardly that you're going to side, you're going to throw in with these stupid gay communists, you're forcing us to take the government by force. Because we cannot give our government to people who are unmoored from reality. If you give a little kid hormone blockers, you tell them, you know, you coerce them into thinking that he can change his gender, or in the worst case scenario, you give a surgery to affirm his gender transition, you shouldn't be anywhere near a child, let alone a government. But I'm crazy, right? I'm the crazy one. Fine. I wear it as a badge of honor. Podcast. Please call me crazy and go to YouTube right now. Please call me crazy. The title is not tongue in cheek. I'm saying when you get to a time where people have accepted crazy, the one that sick people call crazy is usually the one who's telling the truth. Like, you can't change your gender, period. They could give the LGBTQ 5 months, 10 months. They could give them the entire year. We could take 2027 in the wake of President Trump and this bigoted fascism. We could take all of 2027 when they take the House back and pass a House and the Senate. They take back. They could pass a law, a bill. They could pass a resolution that says all of in lieu of President Trump's bigoted fascism. All of 2027 is now the LGBTQ year of the homosexual. You know how the Chinese have their calendar? You got the year of the hog and the year of the monkey, year of the dragon, year of the rat, right? 2027 is year of the stupid gay communists. Okay. Fine. You could do that. Still doesn't make it any more real. See, and this is the heresy of democracy. We believe that if you can, you know, get a political coalition together and you can control the narrative and then you can pass legislation and then all of a sudden you can change reality. Heresy. There's only one true living God. There's only one universal truth. There's only one reality. And in that one reality, You could cut your balls off as many times as you could possibly, you know, as you can possibly manage. But you're still not a woman. You're not a woman. You're a eunuch. You're a man who cut his balls off. You could put on a wig. You could get fake breasts. You can get a BBL. You can put polish on your fingers and on your toes. You can wear lipstick and mascara or blush. You know, you can put eyelashes on, whatever. Eyeliner, eyeshadow, the whole nine yards. You can wear neon latex and fishnets. You can do whatever you want to do. You're still a man. You're still a male. Not a man, you're a male. You're still a male. And the only thing that I can think of, and I've said this a couple of times now, the only thing I can think of is that on the Republican side and the conservative side, we do have some type of subtle underlying homosexual fetish and eroticism. And that's why we want to continue to go back and forth with these people. It's like, you know, the girl in school that you like and you argue with her because you actually like her. I kind of get that sense with this because, you know, and I tell Alex this all the time. He's had a number of legendary rants in his career, his illustrious career of telling the truth. He's had a number of legendary rants. But the best rant by far, in my opinion, my all-time favorite is no other species on the planet. No other species on the planet would let a 250-pound man dressed like a space demon get up close to one of its kids. The giraffes, the hippopotamuses, no other species on the planet would let a man dressed like a 250-pound space demon get up close to one of its kids. If you'll deal with that, you'll take anything. Ah, I'm sick of it. All-time best. Why? Because it just goes right to the heart of the problem. It's not the stupid gay communists. It's us. It's all the rest of us who can't muster up the courage to fight the momentum, the pressure of the mob think, the zeitgeist. We get to this point. We're angry. We got passion. We go, something isn't right. And then right around the time you see there's too many likes or views or there's too much support or there's an anti-ICE protest. It's got too many people. You say, I'm stupid. I'm the type of stupid individual. I'll go right out there with 1,000 people and say, stupid gay communists, all of you. Who wants some? Let's do it. Let's get it on. Let's get it on. I've done it. I walked up to a Palestinian protest outside the Republican Party Lincoln and Reagan dinner at the St. Paul Convention Center back in 2024. The day before our convention in 2024. And, you know, of course they had a free Palestine protest outside. And I just walked up to them and I said, you people don't care about Palestinians. You're full of it. And I'm as critical of Israel as any Republican U.S. Senate candidate in the country. Literally. I don't think there's another. In fact, you know, I don't brag much, but it's just a matter of fact. Just as a matter of fact, make sure we have the record straight. I'm the first United States Senate nominee born in the 1990s, first of my generation. I'm the only United States Senate candidate to openly go against AIPAC and still win my primary. Everybody make sure that you clip that and pass it around. Okay, let's make sure we keep the record clear. Because I get this sense that the mainstream media is so deathly afraid of me. And I mean, even some of these alternative commentators, they don't want to have me on the podcast. It's, you know, there's just something eerie going on. So when I really take a look at it, I go, what the hell is going on here? Honestly. But we'll save that for another day. We'll go nuclear another night. Point being, I'm the only United States Senate candidate in the entire country, probably, to openly and publicly criticize AIPAC and still win my primary. Now, we'll see if I can do the same. We'll see if I can defeat the odds again here on August 11th in Minnesota. And if you're in Minnesota, please spread the word. We're in for a dogfight here in the primary, myself and the great Mike Lindell. We'll see what happens. Our elections aren't secure. That's an entirely different situation. We'll see what happens. Again, you can be pro-choice as long as you're pro-Israel. We have a crisis in our own party now that supersedes the rigging of the elections. We have to get our own message straight before we can ever really hold the Democrats or America, you know, our government to account for keeping our elections secure. Because if you don't have your own narrative together, it's too easy to pick you off. And that's what we, you know, that's what we got to deal with. In 35 days, 40 days, do we get it done for Minnesota? I'm not too confident. But hey, I never preclude miracles. I love a good fight. I love a bad one. Back to the story. I walk up to these Free Palestine protesters and I say, you people don't care about Palestine. Stop it. You don't care about Palestinian. Cut the nonsense. Oh, Royce, F you. Oh, yada. Oh, bootlicker, Uncle Tom, oh, you're carrying water for the white supremacists. They don't love you. They don't like you. Oh, they want to, you know, turn you back into a slave. Oh, shut up. Shut your mouth. Oh, you think you're, oh, yeah, you think you're tough? Oh, you think you're tough? Yeah, no, I actually am tough, really tough in real life. Please, come on down from the median there. Come on down from the median, and let's see how tough you all are. I walked right up to the crowd. There's probably about 35 of them, 40 of them, something like that. And I'm like, which one of you want to go first? Come on down. Which one of y'all want to go first? Didn't move an inch. They didn't move an inch. They're not that tough. They're tough because we have a turn the other cheek, post-enlightenment, watered down 501c3 Christian Zionist mentality. And our Christian Zionist mentality is we'll let the stupid gay communists rape us in America, but we'll go die for the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. I'm just being real with you. I'm just being real with you guys. That's what it is. Communists have taken your country. Stupid, gay, communists have taken your country. They're in control of the courts in the deep state. And we're still worried about Israel. Let's say it another time for those who aren't quite getting it. Stupid, gay, communists are in control of the deep state and the courts, and we're still focused on Israel. That is the correct criticism of our wrongly ordered foreign policy. That is the rightful criticism of NATO, is we don't want to have a global dollar empire where we're defending everybody else's borders all the time, 24/7, 365 days a year, which justifies our Congress raising the debt ceiling so we can pass defense spending so we can continue to play empire. That's the rightful criticism of our relationship and foreign policy with Europe or any of these other nations. That's the rightful criticism. See, but Isaiah Martin can't make that play. Why? Because they don't really despise military-industrial complex or a global dollar empire. They just want to be in control of it. There's a big difference between fundamentally disagreeing with being a global dollar empire and military-industrial complex. You know the evidence? All the Democrat candidates who are funded by the defense contractors never seem to miss any Democrat votes. I ran against one in 2024 when all the other Minnesota Republicans were afraid. Said, oh, Amy Klobuchar's too strong. Imagine a bunch of conservative Christian men saying that Amy Klobuchar is too strong of a candidate to run against. No, we don't want to run against her. She's too strong. You know what? You go caucus with the communists, you stupid cuckservative. Even that mentality, you know, and I heard it. I heard it just to and fro. It's like, no, oh, I'm not running. No, I'm not going to run against Amy Klobuchar. No, who would run against Amy Klobuchar? She's too strong of a candidate. Embarrassing. I ran against her. I couldn't wait. Of course I'll run against her. I can't wait to run against a military industrial complex show. If for no other reason than to pose the referendum to the people who say free Palestine. To all the Democrats and leftists, progressives, socialists, Marxists who say free Palestine. And then they cast a vote for Amy Klobuchar. She's got more AIPAC money coming out of her gills than any other candidate in the entire country. Millions of dollars they've dumped into her. And see, when the cognitive dissonance reaches that level, you just gotta opt out. You gotta just opt out. You can't stay at the tables. You know, you gotta get your chips, stand the hell up and walk away from the table. Christ, he did it different. He just turned the table over. He said, nah, we're not going to play this game anymore. We're done. The rules are suspended. We're not playing this game. Whoop. There goes the tables. It's like, Jesus. Jesus is upset today. Yes, you bet your rear end we're upset. You bet your rear end we're upset. See, and they'll never answer the question. They can't, because they can't answer the question. They can't square the circle. Ask them. Just go ask them. Do you believe we should be a global dollar empire and military industrial complex? No. We need to stop fighting wars for Israel. Okay, how about NATO? We got to stay in NATO. Stupid gay communist. Shut your mouth. But, you know, we want to go back and forth with them. We're in some weird, you know, we're in some strange homoerotic, fight. I don't know. It's like when they went to Nancy Pelosi's house in the middle of the night and there was the weird homeless dude in his underwear. And, he was, what was he holding, a mallet or something? I forgot what it was. I think he was holding a mallet. I forgot what it was, but, Nancy's husband had a knot on his head. And I think he was like in his underwear too, maybe, or something like that. I don't know, but, you know, it's a microcosm is what I'm saying. It's a microcosm. We are, you know, politically, culturally, we are in the same sort of weird back and forth with these stupid gay communists. And I'm just here to try and provide you the encouragement, the motivation to stand up from the table and say, enough is enough. We're done. We're done. We're not going to argue. We're not going to go back and forth. We're not going to debate. We're not going to let you, we're not going to let you disgrace our nation and our founding fathers by using their affinity for open dialogue and debate to unmoor our society from reality. It's not going to let you do it. Sacred honor. Our duty demands. Duty demands. Our sacred honor, our civic duty demands that we do not let these people disgrace our founding fathers' affinity for open dialogue and debate by unmooring us from reality. Put that in your pseudo-intellectual pipe and smoke it, Isaiah Martin. You're watching The Alex Jones Show here on The Alex Jones Network, Sunday Night Live, Belly of the Beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm Royce White. We'll be right back in a moment.
Have the very best, strongest methylene blue from a medical grade company that produces it for medical firms. Instead of using radioactive iodine, you know, to track stuff before surgeries, they're more and more using methylene blue. So I told Bigley, I said, get me whatever the highest rated is. So they spent like 6 months and said, where is it? And they said, oh, this is a medical firm in Florida. They don't even sell this for human consumption, though it's great for that. And I'm like, okay, great. So some bottles of it came in, sat there about a week, because I'd taken methylene blue before, barely felt any energy, knew it was really good for your mitochondria. And, you know, so it's time to sell it, we're going to do it. Kennedy's promoting it, this is a year and a half ago, almost years ago. They're like, hey, boss, you know, it's coming out tomorrow, you got to cut the ads. I went, well, I haven't tried it yet,
This better be good. And so the show ends, and I had a glass of iced tea, just like I do today. Okay? And I take one dropper and put it in the iced tea. And so I only drink half the iced tea. So I took half a dropper, and all of a sudden I'm like feeling warm and like electricity in my hands. I'd forgotten I'd taken it because I'm busy doing stuff at the show. And I go into the bathroom and I take my shirt off and I turned red. Not with like hives, like I was, it was distributed. I'm already pretty tan. Tan good is a little bit Native American, some of the benefits of that. But I was like even redder and I was like, what is this? And I'm like, electricity. I go, oh, that's what people say methylene blue does if it's really good. And I was like, and I started feeling so good. I was like, this is kind of scary. And about an hour into it, I go, I hope this stops because it was getting too good. That happened to Derek. He took it and said, I'm scared to take it. I thought he was on acid. So it's psychoactive everything, okay? I mean, this is not a freaking game, okay? It skips the oxygenation process, two steps in the cells, and all this other wild stuff. And so my medical doctor 6-7 years ago, wellness clinics all over the state, he's got like 5, 6, 7, 8 degrees. It's ridiculous. He said, and by the way, I want you to get methylene blue. It'll be USP grade. Just get it wherever. Just make sure it's USP grade, meaning it's, you know, medical grade. And I ordered it and tried it and really didn't feel any energy. When, you know, but I'm sure it was good for me, but I'd forget to take it. So I was like, okay, everybody wants methylene blue. I know it's good. We'll get it. We'll sell it. Get, you'll get the best. I take this, and it is nothing like any methylene blue I ever took. I mean, it is strong. It's amazing. But just like Group told me with the pure atomic iodine that it would do great stuff with my skin, those liver spots I had, you can go back to shows 14, 15 years ago before Group came along, and you can see those spots I had. They're gone, baby. Gone. Literally gone. It's amazing. But within 2 weeks of taking the methylene blue, the guy I trained with was like, hey, are you on something? Did you get a steroid prescription or something? I was like, no. And he goes, well, what's going on? I mean, you're losing weight even quicker, and now you used to have trouble doing 10 pull-ups, and you just did 20. And man, you're like pushing like on the leg press twice what you were a month ago. What the hell's going on, dude? You're like glowing. And Sean Johnson told the story, and I said, it's methylene blue. He's a former Navy SEAL, Navy SEAL trainer, all that. He took it, gave his testimony about how within 30 minutes he was all zinned out and it was crazy and everything. This stuff really works. Now, when you first take it, you get the crazy effects psychologically. You always feel the energy some, but as it builds up, it's not even a tolerance. It's when your body hasn't had this, it really notices it first. But the first time you take it, I say take a quarter dropper. Talk to your physician, too, because if you're on SSRIs or some other drugs, it'll make you jump off a building. I mean, people have taken methylene blue when they're on Prozac and they jump off buildings. Okay? That's rare. Usually women just pull their clothes off and start having orgies and stuff. I mean, I'm serious. Okay? I mean, like, you want to go cuckoo town, take this with SSRIs and you're going to cuckoo town because that's how strong this is. Okay? That's what this does. And we know it's good for you. But this is not a joke. Okay? I don't sell crap.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on the Alex Jones Network. Sunday Night Live, Father's Day. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And it's great to be back with you this Sunday evening. I know I'm saying some crazy, crazy stuff this week. I know. I'm crazy. I got it. Please. The Rachel Maddows in the world, have a field day. And if my Senate opponents are watching, clip it. Please clip it. Play it till the cows come home. Come hell or high water. Eventually, a group of patriots is going to have to keep this country by force. That's just what it is. So this, the same way, you know, it's interesting the corollary between, what they call in the financial world, moral hazard. And I use moral hazard as a term that you can also apply to the social decay of a society. It's interesting. You think of modern monetary theory and this crazy, concession that we can print as much money as we want. Into infinity because, you know, as long as the American people or the working class of any society around the world is willing to continue to work and give their energy, their energy to the system, to the economy, then we can, then there is no such thing as debt. Effectively what modern monetary theory is, right? As long as people are willing to work and pay, there is no limit on the debt. The debt is unlimited. And that's why we continue to raise the debt ceiling, because that economic philosophy prevails across the aisle in Washington, D.C. and above. Above, when we say above, we're talking about in the banks. There's this corollary between modern monetary theory and this idea I said earlier, that across a big enough time horizon, modern monetary theory is a debt trap for the entire working class. And look where we are. I mean, your children's children are already in debt. So it's not really a theory. It's the reality. Across a great enough time horizon, modern monetary theory is a debt trap for all working class citizens. I think that's a categorical fact. Ding. High IQ. High IQ. Really, really high. Across a great enough time horizon, modern monetary theory is a debt trap for the entire working class. Hence, modern monetary theory at work, our great-great-grandchildren are already in debt before they're even born. There it is. But the same thing can be said for democracy. Across a great enough time horizon, democracy is a decadent political mechanism for a nation. And you all aren't ready to say it yet. You all just aren't ready to say it yet. In order to have a democracy that doesn't devolve and decay, you have to spend a substantial amount of time and energy and place a real premium on the purity, dignity, and philosophical grounding of your ideas. You want to be a nation of ideas, you better spend a lot of time ensuring that those ideas stay moored to reality. And right now we have unmoored ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. We are unmoored from reality. It's like we're celebrating a month of mental illness. The entire month is a month of mental illness. It's like they're parading. They're having parades about mental illness. And I guess I had this intuition when I was fighting the NBA about mental health policy, that the human condition and the human psychology and this crisis of the two, or this crisis at the convergence of the two, was going to be a problem in the future. I had no idea that I was going to watch a nation throw parades about men and women swapping identities for some type of weird cultural virtue signal while the nation implodes. I had no idea. I had no idea just how much of a premonition that really was. Yet here we are, and they'll call me crazy. It's like, go screw yourself, okay? Go screw yourself. Oh, you're a bigot. Oh, you're a fascist. Oh, you're a Christian wingnut. Oh, Christian nationalism, ultra MAGA. They're so flippant and brazen about it too. They're like, ultra MAGA. You can see it in some of the comments. Ultra MAGA. That's immediately discrediting. Ultra MAGA. You're a communist. A stupid gay communist. And the only problem we're having in this country really is that I got to look to the next person who should be ultra MAGA or a Christo nationalist. And I got to wonder if they're really worth their, if they're really worth their salt, if they're really, you know, if they're really hardcore. That's the only problem in this country. I look to my left, I look to my right, and I see other people who say they're patriots and Republicans, but aren't really ready to save the Republic. Dear President Trump, I implore you on this Father's Day, let the record reflect, let it go down in history that on Sunday, June 21st, 2026, year of our Lord, 2026, this crazy low IQ Negro from Rondo, St. Paul, implored the President of the United States to keep the government by force from these stupid gay communists. Let the record reflect. I'll be the John Revere, okay? The commies are coming. The commies are coming. The commies are coming. They're already here. They're in the wire. They're in the wire. How long are you going to argue with them? How long are you going to argue with these courts, these traitors in the courts? How long are you going to beg John? I'm sick and tired of watching my commander in chief beg John Thune and the Senate to do what they should do. I'm sick and tired of it. It's not an insult. I'm not, you know, it's out of love. That's why I ran the clip this in the beginning of the great Bobby Hurley. You see how Bobby Hurley talked to that team? Boy, if we had 500 Bobby Hurleys in the Congress, this country would change like that. This country would change for the better in an instant. And I love his two sons. His one son has built an entirely new legacy for the historic UConn basketball program, which, by the way, I can speak to directly because I was the one or one of the players to retire the last UConn dynasty under the great Jim Calhoun. And Jim Calhoun was an incredible basketball coach himself, and he built an incredible dynasty for the UConn basketball program. His last year, they lost an NCAA tournament in the round of 32. In the first round to Iowa State, the Iowa State Cyclones, which I led. Oh, by the way, these casual basketball fans who say things like Royce White has a failed basketball career. I just want you to go to Google, ChatGPT, Grok, whatever you like to use, and type this prompt in. How rare is it for a Division I basketball player to lead his team in all major statistics, all major stat categories in a Power 5 conference? Go ahead. You put the prompt in, because I know that's what you people do for your facts. You go to Google, you know, you need Google to tell you. And the first thing that the New York Times pops up from the authoritative sources becomes your vault of knowledge. You just regurgitate whatever Google tells you. Try this one on for size. How rare is it? How rare of a feat is it for a single player to lead his team in all five major stat categories from a Power 5 conference? Now it's Power 4 because the Pac-12 is defunct, no longer exists. I think the Pac-12 is actually coming back, but, you know, we'll see. Bottom line is, if you put in that prompt, it'll tell you it's one of the rarest statistical feats you can possibly achieve. One of the rarest statistical feats that you can possibly achieve. The last person to do it was Cooper Flagg. He's the number one draft pick. Going to have an incredible NBA career when it's all said and done. God willing, he stays healthy. The point I'm making is there is an exceptionalism, an elitism, an unequal distribution of talent, grit, hard work, discipline that we revere in our athletes and the Bobby Hurleys of the world who were winners. I've never actually played on a losing team in my entire basketball career. Never played on a losing team. Never. And I think the first time I played on a losing team was like in one of the recent Big Three seasons. But I mean, it's, you know, 8-game season. And the whole thing is, I love the Big Three, but it's an entirely different format. It's a different deal. But on a team where there was an extended season, like high school, college, the pros, never played on a losing team. There's something we revere about the winners. And that's what we're really fighting. If you want to pinpoint, I say, you know, for a time such as this, if you want to pinpoint a couple cultural nodes that have sunk American society, we don't place a premium on winning. And it's not the winning and losing like the results. It's more of the process. I always tell people, like my young players, you could work as hard as you could work hard. You could get up every morning, be disciplined, do everything you're supposed to do and still not achieve the goal you set out to achieve. That's possible. That's not the point. The point is to put your mind to something, fall in love with the process of hard work and understand the value that working hard at something every day brings to your life and everything that you learn in the process, like how important it is to have a great coach and great leaders. And the difference between a man who loves you and has passion and is trying to instill discipline and accountability in you and somebody who we call abusive or toxically masculine. There's a big difference, and we are rapidly losing that distinction. If you watch that clip of Bobby Hurley laying into his high school team the day before a state championship, which, by the way, they went on to win by 20, 30 points, and become state champions with a perfect 32-0 record, which is incredible in and of itself, especially in a place like, I think they're in New Jersey, where, you know, with all due respect to every other part of the country, the tri-state area has incredible basketball because New York City is the Mecca, right? If you have a problem with the way Bobby Hurley talked to those young men, you're probably a stupid gay communist. And you'll go to the game and you'll get drunk and you'll have your pom-poms or your stupid merchandise t-shirt and you'll have an opinion about, you know, which player is dating which supermodel and all of the tea and the gossip. And for some reason, we count you as a part of the fundamental and essentials of the game. That's the problem with commercialization, is it brings everybody into a game where the product and result of the game is exclusive to the discipline and hard work, expertise, skill, and mastery of a few. And okay, fine. You know, if there wasn't the commercial aspect, there wouldn't be as big of a game. I understand that, but we have to be able to make hardcore decisions about how much we let the stupid gay communists dictate the culture of the game. Like, for example, the NBA, who's gone so woke, all of the players need to come in women's clothes and put weird female accessories and finger paint on their nails and shake their butt like they're, you know, working part-time at the strip club. I just, for the love of, is this America? Is this America? Is this what it means for us to be diverse, tolerant, inclusive? Because if that's what those things means, I want no part of it. If that's what those things mean, we need to run in the other direction. If I see another young NBA player come to the arena and get his picture taken, like it's like a pre-scheduled fashion shoot. Like, you know, they used to say all the basketball players want to be rappers. Now it's like all the basketball players want to be models. Gay. And it's, you know, there's nothing wrong with being a model. I get it. You know, I understand. There's nothing wrong with being a model, but there is something wrong with the rapid deterioration of masculinity in our culture. And, you know, by God, I just really believe that this tacit sort of need for external validation, groupthink, these echo chambers, this heresy of democracy. If we get 100 people together who agree or passive aggressively concede that something is right when they know it's wrong, all of a sudden it's right. No, it's still wrong. It's still wrong. Like, giving a little kid hormone blockers is wrong. I don't care how many doctors say it's okay. It's still wrong. I don't care how many Ilhan Omars or AOCs or Bernie Sanders or Barack Obamas or Michelle say it's okay. It's not okay. It's just not okay. It's just not okay, guys. And at some point, once you figure out that these people will not concede that it's not okay, what is the answer? And that's where we are now, Mr. President. What is the answer? The answer has to be stop arguing with them. You've done enough, sir. You've done enough, Mr. President. You've given 10 years of your life, in the twilight of your life, to try and convince these people of common sense. You've done enough, sir. Now it's time to do a little more, but a little less hard work. Let's work smarter, not harder. National security threat. You can't give your country to people who are unmoored from reality, because then effectively your nation is unmoored from reality. And I saw just recently, put a post up and he says, I personally inspected the pool there It's been vandalized. And he says in there, you know, wow, who would do something? Stupid gay communists, Mr. President. That's who would do something like that. Stupid gay communists who say the algae is out of control because President Trump didn't listen to the scientists. Back in 2012, they had a bunch of news reports said the same exact thing when Barack Obama renovated the pool. Same exact thing. The algae is the algae. I mean, come on. The fact that we're, you know what? It's just, we're arguing with people about algae in a pool. They're giving little kids hormone blockers. These doctors should be thrown in prison. Where are the lawsuits? Where are the lawsuits for all the people who had transition surgery that now deeply regret it? And you know, class action lawsuits. There's the Dr. Fauci thing. There should be class action law. The United States government versus Big Pharma. That's when I'll know we're really chopping some wood. United States government versus, Viacom or, well, what are these other big mainstream media parent companies? United States government versus the fake news media. RICO, indictment, medical misinformation. Because you think some of them didn't know? You think if Dr. Fauci knew that there was gain-of-function research that contributed to the COVID-19 pandemic, you think some of these mainstream media news outlets didn't know? You think they didn't have their sources? No, they did. And we need to get to the bottom of it. Just who knew? Who knew and when did you know? Preserve your documents. There should be a memo that goes out from the United States government to all of the mainstream media, all the fake news media outlets. Preserve your documents. We want to know who knew and when did you know? But I'm crazy. I know I'm crazy. I got it. I'm the low IQ Negro from Rondo, St. Paul. I got it. I'm crazy. I'm extreme. Royce is extreme. You know, he pals around with that Alex Jones. Those dudes are a little out there. How far out there are we? How far out there are? Can we get a number? On a scale of 1 to 10, how far out there am I? The mainstream media should be able to medically misinform the entire American public with no consequences or repercussions whatsoever. Dr. Fauci should be able to saunter on out to the podium and bloviate, you know, his pretentious, smug scientism to the American people, only to find out that he lied to Congress at one of the most pivotal moments in our nation's history, and there's no consequences? Where are the raids? Where's the FBI raid, like they raided Mar-a-Lago? Where's the raid? Where's the perp walk? On a scale of 1 to 10, how far out there exactly are me and Alex Jones? How far? 1 to 10. No, I think the stupid gay communists are out there at 100. On a scale of 1 to 10, they're 100. But again, you know, hey, let's talk about something else. You know, how about them Yankees, right? How about them Yankees? Can never give the government back to these people. And the sooner we come to grips with that, the sooner we can start fixing this great nation. The sooner we come to grips with the reality that they are unmoored from reality, we can start turning this country around. But it's going to take some reality testing of our own. Like, you know what? For Christ's sake, how many times are we going to let Israel and Bibi Netanyahu, you know, knife us in the side? How many times are we going to go through this around and around and around? It's just like, you know, let's just cut them loose. Let them do what they're going to do. I love what Steve Bannon said. They've been fighting for 1,000 years. They're going to be fighting for 1,000 years hence. Cut them loose. Let them do what they're going to do. They want to fight. They want to take grand. We don't have to be responsible. We do not have to uphold the peace for the entire world. The real criticism of NATO and in our entire formation of foreign policy is that And again, it's hilariously ironic that the liberals decry neocolonialism. The greatest relic of neocolonialism is our formation of foreign policy that says we have to be responsible for peace all around the world, and therefore we need $1 trillion a year for our defense budget. That, oh, by the way, does subsidize Europe's defense, because when they have to go to war with Russia, they don't have the aircraft carriers or the equipment that they need in order to beat back Russia. Because if they did, we wouldn't have to come to their aid. If NATO and the rest of the European countries were putting in the amount of money that they should, or the amount of money required to fight the enemies that they want to fight, when Russia crosses over into Ukraine, they wouldn't need us to come to their aid. They wouldn't need us to send resources. They'd have them. They don't have them. Israel doesn't have them. They say they do. And what I'm saying is, let's get a head count. Same way we got to get a head count in this country, 20-year moratorium on all immigration, mass deportations. We got to get a head count in this country. Same way we got to get a head count of our international alliances. You people say that you put enough money in to the NATO alliance to defend your own countries and your territorial integrity. Let's see. Let's see. It's called pulling the chair in basketball terms. I'm going to go ahead, pull the chair, and let's see if you're in balance. You and I, we all know the answer. The answer is no, they're not in balance. See that right there? That's a man who's in balance. That's a great shot from my Iowa State days as a Cyclone on the fast break, catch the ball in rhythm, in step, explode off of 2 feet. You always want to play off of 2 feet as much as you can, because it keeps you in balance. That's why I didn't get injured much, because I played in balance. These folks are not in balance, and because they're not in balance, our relationship with them is not in balance, and we are not in balance here at home. We are not in balance. But to bring this great republic back to balance, I say let Israel and the European Union, they should get together. They should merge plot. European Union and Israel, you guys figure out if it's going to be Greater Israel or the British Empire. Doesn't much matter to us. We're focused on America. That was the America First Initiative. And what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? God bless you all. Godspeed. God bless America. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. We're extremely grateful, and we are eternally grateful to our Father in heaven. Have a great evening, and we'll see you next time.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites.
Oh.
Look, vodka, potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow, the methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the AlexJonesStore.com.
What does .com mean?